Good morning. So glad everybody's here. Appreciate your presence very much. Time to begin our worship service. Going to begin our service with one of our favorite psalms. Sometimes we think of the 23rd psalm being the favorite, and maybe it is, but also Psalm 100 is one of our favorites, and I'll read it to you here. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Now we worship in song.
Good morning, everyone. If convenient, please stand and join me in singing our first hymn, hymn number 121. Our next hymn will be hymn number 528. 528.
I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life he gives from sin and sorrow free. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life he gives.
Before we go to the Lord in prayer, we'll be singing hymn number 848. 848.
Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we marvel at you. Father, we thank you. We are awed by you. Father, we are grateful for you. And Father, we pray that our service and our worship today glorifies you. And as we're so thankful, we also recognize that our security is in you. Our hope is in you. Our safety is in you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for so many things. There's so many blessings that we have seen through support, through aid, through help. And Father, all these things we do in your name to glorify you, to give you the majesty. And Father, please be with us. Please be with our area. Please be with the workers. Please be with those who have lost everything. But they have you, Lord. Please be with us as we help, as we serve, as we give. And Father, help us all remember to look for those in need, to encourage those, and to refresh those who need help. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the work of this church. We thank you for the work of the church all over the world. Father, as we worship today, let us do it to glorify you. As we sing today, we glorify you. As we give today, we glorify you. Father, we thank you for all that Jesus gave for us. In Christ's name, amen.
Excuse me. Before we have the pardon me. Before we have the scripture reading and then today's lesson, we'll be singing hymn number 92. 92.
Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion city of our God, he whose word cannot be broken, for thee, for his own abode, on the rock of ages sounded, what can shake thy story? Salvation's one.
please.
Children's training class will now be offered. If you'll make your way back and to the left of the auditorium. For today's scripture reading, you'll be turning with me to the verse on the screen. It's going to be 1 John 3:16 to 19. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. But this we shall know, that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before him.
How do we explain the last few days? What happened? Well, the bad part, and there's been a lot of that, is we live in a fallen world. God did not create this world to be the way it is right now. But because of sin and all that has followed with sin, things happen that shouldn't happen. And sin has brought in death and destruction and misery. And that certainly abounds. But I'd rather focus your attention on what has happened in the aftermath of the flooding, and that is truly amazing. We have seen just such an outpouring of love and compassion and support from all over the country, literally, from this region, yes. But people are calling from all over the country and saying, how can we help? Today, several congregations I'm aware of are taking up special collections. Some of them say, we want to send that to you so that you can use the money where you see it as best, most needed. And we'll do our job as stewards of Christ. We'll do our best to get those funds to the right places. But it to me shows, again, the light overcomes darkness. Darkness is in this world, no doubt. This is when God's brightness shines the brightest. When there is problems, when there are difficulties, God's people rise to the task and they do amazing things. I've seen it here in this congregation this past week. Last Sunday evening, we got a text from Neil Elliott saying, can you tell people to bring these things? And within less than 24 hours later, we had a small mountain of supplies that you had brought in. You'd gone to the stores, you'd searched through your things, and there it was, ready to deliver. But that wasn't a one-time thing. It's happened over and over and over throughout the week. We've already sent 3 or 4 or 5 loads over to Unicoi County, over to Johnson County. We have just seen amazing things. And we don't have time to talk about everything everybody has done. And I don't know everything everybody has done, but I know you have done a lot. And if you have uttered a prayer, that is a lot. These needs are great, they are long-standing, and may we all look to God for the help we need. But thank you so much for all that you're doing, and keep those prayers going. Continue to listen for the calls for help. You respond. I mean, I'm just proud of this congregation, how you are responding to the needs when they're made known. And it's the power of God. It is the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So keep it up. Keep up the good work, and we'll get through this. Especially think about people that have been so badly affected. If you've been affected and we don't know it yet, please tell us. We want to help you if there's anything that we can do to help you. And if you know of particular needs, then let us know. Maybe we can help with that. And we're going to try our best to do as much as we can. This evening at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a prayer service because this is a very critical, unusual circumstance. Our elders will be leading prayers to God for help. If you have a specific prayer request, maybe it's an individual, a family, a school, maybe whatever it may be, write that down and hand it to one of our elders, and they'll read that before they lead the prayer, because we want to pray for the things that you know of that are of particular interest. But God is so good to us. God has given us the strength to do what we do, and we depend on him, not only in times of disaster. We depend on him in our good times, and these times of disaster help us to realize that even more. We're glad you're with us today. We have a good number. We have several out for fall break. I know several are traveling, but we have others that are visiting with us today, and we're really glad that you are here. If we can be of help to you in any way, please let us know. We want to help you if that's something that we can do. And do come out and join us every time you can. If you live in the area, come and be with us often. We'd love for you to make this your church home. Let's talk about that. But we're so glad that you're with us. Let's get our Bibles out now. We have so much in the Word of God to help us through these times. Dan was talking this morning in the Bible class, how do we prepare ourselves for disaster, for trials? Well, we look to the Word of God, we pray to God, we be around people that love God. Let's prepare ourselves even more as we now go to the Word of God. Something every human has in common. And that's not easy to find, is it? Something that every human has in common. Our needs. We all have needs of one kind or another. It may be, well, I need to eat. I need to drink something. I need clothing. I need shelter. We all have needs. And sometimes those needs are immediate. They are urgent, you might say. Let's imagine that we go to our neighbor and we say, my car won't start. And my child is sick. I need to get them to the doctor. And the neighbor says, well, I'll help you, but I've got my yard to mow. I've got this job I need to do. I'll help you tomorrow. That's not good, is it? My child is sick. I wouldn't be asking you unless the need was right there, right now. I need your help now. And we would question that person's friendship if that was the kind of response that we got. Christianity is a lifestyle that is built for needs. It is built for needs. And that's what it's all about. And, you know, sometimes that means I'm going to be inconvenienced. Sometimes I'm going to have to spend my money to help somebody else. Why in the world would we buy into that? Why would we want to get into that kind of lifestyle? I mean, I'm talking about me and this is mine and I can't bother with your needs. I'm sorry you've got those problems, but why are you looking at me? Well, one key concept that explains why we buy into that is the idea of compassion. Compassion is what we're talking about today. It is a core value in the Christian faith. Compassion is a core value of the Christian faith. But as we've been talking about in 2024, not everything is authentic. That's been our theme this year on the first Sunday of each month, authentic. We live in a world where there's so much that is fake, so much artificial intelligence. We're not sure, is this a real person? Is it something that's been developed by a computer? We don't know. Where can I find what is really authentic and true? And let's apply that test to the idea of compassion. Because compassion is just that. Sometimes people say, well, I feel for you. I hope you do better. But do they have authentic compassion? The Bible talks a lot about this idea. Let's find out what it says, because we're at that moment in this area. We are at that moment where we've got to have authentic compassion. The first idea I want us to think about is your pain in my heart. Your pain in my heart. Now, I say that because many years ago, a fellow named Andy Baker was here at Central. Now he is the president of Rural Christian Broadcasting. But he did a seminar for us here at Central, and that was one of the ideas he spoke, and it really registered with me. I've used it a number of times since then. Compassion means I see your pain, and now it's in my heart. I mean, I don't suffer the way you're suffering. I don't have that exact pain, but it's in my heart. And that's really a good way to start the idea of compassion. And as we have seen this past several days, there are a lot of people that are having pain, pain that is far greater than anything we have ever imagined. They're living it, and some of them aren't living it now. But the idea is I see that, and that affects me. I feel that. That's the idea that we find in the Word of God. Let me point out, first of all, that's a trait of God. It is a divine trait. And you see that in a number of places. Let me take you, first of all, to Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. Here we have Jesus very early in his ministry. And this is one of the first things Mark tells us about in his gospel, this particular encounter he had with a leper. A leper came to Jesus imploring him and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Now, the reaction to lepers in that day and time would vary greatly. Many would say, "Oh, get away from me. You are required by law to keep your distance and to cry out to me when you see me, unclean, unclean, because I could be contaminated by your uncleanness." That's how a lot of people would have responded to that. But this man comes up to Jesus, apparently very close, and he says, "If you will, you can make me clean." How's Jesus going to respond? Well, verse 41. It tells us there in verse 41, "Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean." Jesus didn't respond the way a lot of people would have responded that day. He was moved with pity. Now, the word pity in the Greek is from a word that is often translated in the English as compassion. And that's the idea. Jesus saw this man's condition. I mean, it's very obvious if we're talking about Hansen's disease, likely what this man has. It was obvious. You just look at it, "Ooh, that's bad. I don't want to be around that person." But Jesus had compassion. He had pity on this man, and how do you know? He reached out and touched him. He didn't have to touch him. On other occasions, Jesus just spoke words, and even though a person was not nearby, they were healed. Why did Jesus touch him? To show very concretely, "I care about you." And then as a result of that touching, he was healed immediately. Jesus felt it in his heart. That's where it began. It is a divine trait. It begins with God. I'll give you another example. Go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 and verse 13. And remember, Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus came to this earth to show us what God is like. And here again, we've got another example. He's encountered a funeral procession coming out of a city, and the procession he is leading has to stop, like we often stop. Whenever there is a funeral procession, we kind of pull over to the side, becoming less common anymore, unfortunately. But, you know, we out of respect, we'll just pull over to the side and let them pass. Well, Jesus didn't let them pass. He went up to the widow, and listen to what it says in Luke chapter 7 and verse 13. "When the Lord saw this widow, her only son had died, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.'" Easy to say, right? I mean, she's lost her son. What's she going to do now? Who's going to take care of her now? But that's not all that happened. He raised her son from the dead. He gave her son back to her, alive and healthy, and now able to take care of his mother. But it all began with compassion. It is a divine trait. And then in Luke 15 and verse 20, this is a parable, not an actual incident, although it may have been based on an actual incident. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 20, you got the parable of the prodigal son. And you remember what happened there. The young son was, you know, he wasn't happy at home. He said, give me my inheritance. And he's gone. He spends it foolishly. And now he is starving. He's starving. And he comes back home thinking, maybe I can at least get a job. Has no thought that his father will welcome him back. But listen to what it says in Luke 15 and verse 20. He arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. He felt compassion, and then he ran and embraced him and kissed him and restored him to the family. You read on in that parable. And that father represents God the Father. We are the prodigal sons and daughters. We're the ones that walked away from God by sin. But it tells us that God sees us coming back and he has compassion. He rushes to meet us. He welcomes us back home. Compassion is a divine trait. And throughout the Bible, you see this over and over again. Over and over again, we see God's compassion. Now, sometimes you see God's anger and wrath and jealousy, yes. But the overriding emotions of God are his love and his compassion, and he fills that for us. We are the recipients of that wonderful compassion. Now, talking about that compassion that God shows us, now we need to understand it's something that Christians are also to have. We are imitators of Christ. We are to be like God as much as possible. That means we're to be compassionate people. For example, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Earlier in this chapter, Paul had been talking about works of the flesh, and we're to put those off, be done with them, put them away from us, and he lists several of them. And now he turns his attention to that which is positive, and listen to what he says in Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Now, there's other things he goes on to say. But is it a coincidence that he says, begin here? He doesn't actually say begin here, but that's the first thing on his list. Put on. Now, all of us are clothed this morning, I'm happy to say. I doubt that any of you slept in the clothing you're wearing right now. Maybe you did, I don't know it. But most of us put on suitable clothing to come worship the Lord. That's what he's saying here. Put on suitable traits. Here's the way to be. Here's the way to appear to the world. Put on compassionate hearts. And that is something that is required of all of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. Matthew 5, verse 7, you remember the beatitude that says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Often we think of mercy as, well, I'll forgive you. And that is one way to show mercy. But merciful really means I'm going to do what is best for you. You have a need, I'm going to respond to that need and do whatever is right and whatever is best. And if I show mercy to others, I will receive mercy from God. I need to be a compassionate person. And then Luke chapter 6, verse 31, we all know this, the golden rule. And Jesus there simply said it this way, as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Now, we all have pretty solid ideas of how we would like to be treated by other people. And if I have a need, here's the way I would like for people to respond to my need. Well, as you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, he says. That's the golden rule. And if that's not all about compassion, I don't know what is, because he says it begins with our wish, with our thinking, within our hearts. Here's the way I want people to treat me, and now I see them in that situation. What shall I do? Compassion is so important. What kind of world would it be like if there were no compassion? Would you want to live in that kind of world? A world, for example, where nobody stopped to help a person who had had an accident and it was obvious they were in great distress. nobody stops. Nobody calls for help because there is no help. Nobody cares. Would you want to live in a world like that? Or a lost child. Somebody sees a child that's crying. They're just kind of wandering out on the street, and nobody stops to help reunite that child with their parents. Would you want to live in a world like that? Neither would I. Or here's an elderly couple maybe, and they've got to have some prescriptions, and they don't have the ability to get out themselves, and nobody bothers to check on them. Nobody responds to their calls. Could you go pick this up for me? All of that is compassion. And I'm thankful we don't live in a world like that. And why not? Because these are the traits Christ has taught us. These are the ways we are supposed to be. So let's move on to the second thought of this lesson. Now that we understand that compassion is your pain in my heart. But let's go a step further now. Compassion without action. I heard this quote just earlier this week for the first time. You may have heard it a long time ago, but the first time for me, my son told it to me. And the idea is compassion without action is just observation. Compassion without action is just observation. Have you ever been traveling down the interstate and suddenly the traffic is backed up for miles and finally you get to where it all was and it's an accident over on the side and people just slow down, they're looking, you know, they're just looking. They want to see what's going on here, but not many have stopped to help. Maybe there's not a need for a lot of people to stop there, but is that the way we treat life's problems? We just kind of drive by and we rubberneck a little bit. Oh, what's going on over there? And I read about a lot of people that are just touring the areas that have been devastated by flood, making it more difficult for those that are there to help to get around. That's the idea. They're not there to help. They're just looking around. It's not compassion without action. That's what the Bible says over and over again. Authentic compassion responds to needs. Go to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21 verse 13, it states it very clearly there, I think. Proverbs 21 and verse 13, whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. Can you imagine? Here is somebody that hears a cry for help, but they say, oh, I didn't hear that. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to stop. It's as if they were just totally deaf to that particular cry for help. And the proverb says, if we're that kind of person, if that's typically how we are, we just look the other way, then don't expect to receive help when you need help, when you're the one crying out. And when he talks about the poor, it may be those that are chronically poor. It may be those that are suddenly poor. Do you know anybody like that in this area that suddenly lost everything? And whoever closes his ears to the cry of the poor will himself cry and not be heard. Again, in Proverbs, look at chapter 3, verse 28. Proverbs 3 and verse 28, a little different angle on this same idea. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Notice, you've got what they need. You have the resources, but you're saying, well, come back later. Maybe they won't come back. Come back later and I'll help you then. The proverb says, don't be that way. You have what they need. Don't delay. Give it. Help them in their distress. In Luke chapter 10, verse 33, here you've got another of the parables of Jesus, one of the most famous, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you remember there the setting. A man was traveling on the road to Jericho, and thieves sprang out, ambushed him, took everything he had, beat him, left him wounded, and probably would have died had nobody stopped. And here comes somebody. It is a Levite, and here's another one, a priest. And Jesus said they both saw him, and yet they passed by on the other side. They may have felt pity for the man. They may have said, oh boy, that's a bad situation. I hope somebody stops and helps him. But it's not going to be me. I've got other things I've got to do. And yet it was that Samaritan. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 33 of Luke chapter 10. A Samaritan, the one people in Judea and Galilee would not expect to do anything like this. A Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where this man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Was it authentic compassion? Oh, yes. Because he took this man and did the first aid that he was capable of doing. He put him on his own animal and took him to an inn. He paid out of his own pocket for that man to be kept there for 2 or 3 days or however long. And he said, if he runs up a bigger bill than that, I'll come pay it. He didn't know this man, but he had compassion, authentic compassion. And he did what was needed to get that man back to better health. And Jesus ended all of that discussion by saying this: you go and do likewise. You go and do likewise. That's compassion in its authentic sense. And then in 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, that was read to us earlier this morning. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, Earl read this. He said, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And I've been seeing a lot of that this week. You've been seeing a lot of that this week. People who have this world's goods are opening up and they're saying, here, I've got more than I need. I want you to have some of what I've got. And is it possible that others don't have that same reaction? I hope there's nobody like that in this building or watching us this morning. But if so, it's time to check ourselves and say, do I have authentic compassion, or is it just talk? I'm just talking a good game, but I'm not living the life that Christ has called me to live. As we have seen this week, there's been a massive outpouring of love and help. The photo that you're going to see there, Billy Miller was out helping deliver things to some of the communities around. I know others of our members have been doing that as well. And I just think this kind of catches the spirit. Here are people that are out there with large trucks, pickup trucks, whatever it may be. I've got something. I can deliver things to people that are in need. I'm going to do that. That's compassion in action. And where did all this come from? It came from people like you that brought it to the building, and then it got to them, and now it's in the hands of people that were without. That's authentic compassion. That's exactly what we're talking about in this lesson. And then in Proverbs 19 and verse 17, I think we ought to realize this. What are we doing when we help people that are without this world's goods? Well, we're helping people that are without this world's goods. Step it up a little bit. Look at it from a larger angle. And this is what Proverbs 19 and verse 17 says. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Did you realize that was what you were doing when you bought that case of water or those bags of diapers or whatever it was you brought to the building? Did you realize you were making a loan to God? No, God doesn't need it. It's already his. But it is as if you are lending it to the Lord. And notice what he goes on to say, the Lord will repay us. It doesn't mean we're going to get 2 for 1. You know, God's going to make us rich because we've done something good. But God knows, and we will be blessed in ways that we just can't imagine if we have the faith to do what the Lord tells us we ought to be doing. Let's finish with this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to read verses 6 to 11. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 11. Here, Paul was talking about a relief effort. Ever heard of those? That's what we're going through right now. There was a famine coming. Agabus had foretold it by God's wisdom. And so Paul and many others said, you know, let's take up a collection among the Christians of the Gentiles. Let's send it to the people in Judea and show them that we are brethren. They're going to have great needs. We're going to have great needs. But let's show them how much we love them. And somebody might have said, now, wait a minute. If I give them what I've got, I will be poorer. Isn't that math? If I have two of something and I give you one, then I'm poorer. I only have one. Well, that's the world's math. Listen to God's math. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. The point is this, Paul wrote, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I've seen a lot of smiles of people when they bring their goods to the building. They're happy to be doing this. It feels good to be sharing with people that have so little or nothing. God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And listen to this. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. That makes no sense at all, you might say. If I give, I'll have less. Paul says if you give, you'll have more. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by math. And when we do what the Lord tells us, he will provide the seed for continued sowing. Now again, I'm not saying that if you give $10 to help the poor, somehow $20 is going to show up. But it might. It might be $100. I don't know. I don't know how God works in every situation. But I know this is a promise that God is able to enrich us in every way so that we can continue doing the work he calls us to do. And we've been called to respond to the great needs around us. We're not the only ones, but we have been called to respond. And it's not just this situation that we're in right now. It's situations that occur every day. It's those normal crises of life, if you can call any crisis of life normal. We're here to help because we're people of compassion. We're people of authentic compassion. Don't you want to serve a Lord that tells his people to live this way? Some of you are not yet Christians. I want you to be a Christian. I want you to enjoy the joy that we all feel and to have that assurance that God is with us in every crisis that we face. I want you to know that you have a home in heaven waiting for you one day. And how do you get that assurance? You obey the gospel. It's a simple plan. It's like what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Peter preached the gospel. A lot of people believed what they heard. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were ready. They were ready. They believed now that Jesus was the Son of God. And Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That hasn't changed. That was what God revealed to Peter on the day of Pentecost, the beginning of the church. Nothing has changed that plan. And so today, if you have heard the gospel, believe that Jesus is God's Son, and are ready to repent and confess your faith to others and today be baptized, you'll have that forgiveness of sins. You'll be part of the family of God, the best blessing you'll ever find on earth. And if you are part of that family, but the world has blinded you. The world has said, you better keep what you've got. You never know what's going to happen later. You know, just cling on to those goods that you've got. Somebody else is going to take care of the needs around you. You need to repent of that lack of faith. You need to repent of whatever sin may be in your life as an erring Christian and pray for forgiveness. Can we help you in any way? If we can help, please come as we stand together and sing.
Deep.
Please be seated.
I mean that metaphorically, of course. We've been thinking a lot about the grace of God, haven't we? God's grace is so wonderful. He's gotten us through a lot of things in the past. He's going to get us through a lot in the future. God is powerful. God is great. Today, we're happy to let you know that someone else would like to identify with us as their church family. Sandra Carter has been with us in the past. She was a member here several years ago. And then in the years past, she decided to go to Mountain View Church of Christ, where her parents are members. And in recent months, we've been seeing Sandra a good bit more. She's been helping out with a lot of the projects that we've had going. And we're just so glad to see her again. And she told me Friday, she said, I'd like to come back to Central and make this my home. So Sandra, would you stand for just a moment so everybody can see you? and just welcome her back. We know a lot of good things about Sandra. I don't guess we know anything bad about you, but we're glad to have you back among us, and I hope all of you will express that to her as well. But again, if you're not a part of our family here at Central, we'd love to talk to you about becoming a part. So let's talk. And there's just so many blessings to be part of God's family. Let's go to God in prayer. Will you bow with me, please? Our God and our Father, we are indebted to you. We exist because of you. We continue to exist every moment because of you. But we don't just exist, Father. We live a life of joy and fullness and meaning because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for our Savior. And thank you for the church, Father, and for this church here at Central. What a blessing it has been to so many and to us. Thank you for everyone that is a part of this family. And now we thank you, Lord, that Sandra has come back to us and will again be a part of this family. We're thankful she was with the Mountain View Church while she was there. But Lord, we pray that she'll find a warm welcome here, that we'll all be benefited by her gifts, her friendliness, her love, and that we will be a blessing to her. Lord, thank you for all you do for us. Be with us, Lord. We need you so much, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll be singing hymn number 922.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength is needed far. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thy all in love. Jesus, take it up. All to him I owe.
Your cups, and if you don't have one, there's some in the back that you need to go and prepare those. In 1 Corinthians and chapter 11, Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Paul says, for as often as you drink, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until it comes again. He gives them the warning. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, Heavenly, this morning that those that are about to partake of this bread, which represents your Son's body, which was crucified and beaten and bloodied, and pray, Heavenly Father, that those that are doing it this morning are worthy to take this and are doing it in a manner that is well-pleasing, that they have focused on this week and their lives, the things that are going on around them, and that they live a life as you would want them to. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Son who came to this earth, who sacrificed his love for us. Be with us now as we take this bread. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, whose blood was shed on the cross, and the drops that were there that shed and spilled, and that we're worthy to take this cup in remembrance of his death upon that cruel cross and the shame that he had to go through. We pray, Heavenly Father, as those that are about to partake of it, do it in a manner that is worthy to thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're about to give back to a portion of that we have been blessed with. We need to remember the words that Tim had said this morning. Those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the blessings we have, for the things you've given us, and for your Son who came to this earth to give us an example of caring and compassion and sharing with those that are in need. We are blessed, Heavenly Father, as we are here. We still have our lives. We may not have all of our physical possessions, but we are still here alive. And as long as we are alive, Heavenly Father, we need to have compassion for others. We pray this morning, as this offering is taken up, that it would be used to the uplifting of the church and to blessing and to show those around in this world the love and compassion that you have shown us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we're so thankful for those that have worked and served the needs that are so prevalent around us. I ask that we keep up the good work and keep collecting things. I pray you'll give us success in getting distribution and getting things to where they do the most good. Bless us, Father. Thank you for this service. Thank you that we have worshiped you. We pray that our worship service has been in spirit and in truth. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have some announcements.